honor is a subject the Bible has a whole lot about when we get to studying that subject. So there's going to be a lot of reference, a lot of scripture. Might want to get a pen and a pencil handy because we're not going to read it all, but we're certainly going to mention it because that's where our minds and our hearts need to be. It's in the scripture and not in what I have to say. So be sure to get that, get ready for that. We read a while ago in everybody's presence 1 Chronicles 29:11, and I thank Alex for that. He did a great job. And we finished up in verse 11 by mentioning, "And you, speaking of God, are exalted as head over all." And we read why He was head over all, didn't we? Because of His majesty and all that He'd done. In verse 12, it goes on to say, "Both riches and honor come from you, and you reign over all. In your hand it's power and might. In your hand it is to make great and to give strength to all." Honor is something that God's deserved of. It's something that He gives out. It's something that He has the ability to make great and to make small. Thought about honor some in the context when you're putting scriptures together and looking through on a subject. I always make a parallel to what I see in today's world because I'm always, always on every subject amazed at how much change that I've seen just in my short life from the way things were when I were younger and to what I see today. And it's easy to see the decline in many areas where morality, where the human being itself in this country is on a pathway that leads us away from God. I can remember in the past when honor was something that led men to their death in war. It was something that they would live or die for. I'm sure that still exists today, but it's changed a lot also. The honor of or what others thought of you was something that drove a lot of men. It was something of great value to you. Today we see in a large part, not completely, there's still honor still exists, as great as it was in the past. But we see in a big part that today honor's kind of cheapened to mean what I want. We no longer put the value or the weight in honor or what others think of us or what we think of others because of our entitlement. It kind of cheapens and undermines what we knew honor to be from years ago. Honor's important, and it's important to God because God wrote so much about it and He gave us so much on this subject. As a noun, honor in the Bible means to esteem, value, great respect. It's something that's given. It's something that's received. Quite a bit in the Bible about it. We're to show honor to others, and we're instructed to do that in God's very Word. He specifically mentions the honor that we are to give to our parents, the aged, those that are in authority, and we'll look into some of them in a little more in detail. But Ephesians 6:2, Leviticus 19:32, and Romans 13:1 are passages that I would refer you to on all of those that we just mentioned. But keep in mind when you study honor that all honor and authority ultimately belongs to God alone. He is all authority. He is all honor. We wouldn't know honor if we didn't have His Word to define it. We wouldn't put honor up if we didn't have His law, His instruction to instruct us on these things. 1 Timothy 1:17 says, "Now to the King eternal, immortal, invisible, to God who alone is wise, be honor and glory forever and ever." He's deserving of all honor forever because of just what we read about before we began our lesson. He created all. He gave all. He sustains all. He has all honor, all authority, but He can delegate that as well to others. And He chooses to do that. However, the authority and the honor still belongs to Him. Ephesians 4, 11 through 12. He can delegate that to others. Peter tells us in 1 Peter 2:17 that we're to honor all people, love the brotherhood, fear God. He mentions honor the king. These are all positions. These are all institutions that we'll talk about today that God set in place. And the structure was so important to Him. And what drove the respect and the sanctity of those institutions was the honor that we have to have that motivates us to follow those. He commanded us to submit to governing authorities, Romans 13, starting at first through verse 6. And in verse 2 of Romans 13, He says, those who rebel against these instituted positions of God, these authoritative positions that God allows to set in place, who rebels against those brings judgment on Himself. God was serious about structure. He was serious about authority. And He was serious about the honor that it would take to keep those things pure. We have to honor those whom God placed over us. And the way that we show that honor to those who are over us and the authorities is through obedience and demonstration of respect to those positions. That's what He asks of us. If we don't, dishonor is what we're guilty of then. We understand that falls with stipulation that we can only do that as long as it's within the confines of God's instruction to us. We're not allowed to fall outside God's instruction. God didn't surrender or place man above Him in authority. We have to obey God first and man second. Man doesn't trump God's word. Another group that we can mention that God is very clear about is noteworthy of deserving honor was the leadership of the church. When He instituted the church, He put in place structure. He put elders in place. They were to be the leadership. And He mentions in 1 Timothy 5:17 that they are worthy, being the leadership, the elders, they're worthy of double honor, especially those who teach and preach. We know elders in the early church taught and preached. That's one of the requirements. Some did publicly, some did privately, surely. But they taught, and they devoted a lot of their time to that. All the elders gave attention to the welfare, the interests of the church. This entitled them to this double honor because of the work that they took on freely of their own free will. It also entitled them to the respect and the honor of those who they lead and also support monetarily, materially. They were entitled to that support. You can see then, because we're blessed with the New Testament. We're blessed with God's Word as a whole, aren't we? Then it wasn't so. So we can see how significant the role of these elders were in the absence of a completed Word. They had to be there to preserve and protect and look over the welfare and the needs of that congregation. Another group that we're told we have to have honor in, a relationship, is in the employer and the employee relationship. God instructs us. He makes the point that we're to serve them and we're to be as honest and as zealous for our employers as we are to Him. He makes a parallel with that. 1 Timothy 3:17, chapter 6 and verse 1. Ephesians 6, verses 5 through 9. Our scriptures that give us guidance on our relationship and our honor that the employer and the employee are to have with one another. Another institution is the institution of marriage, the oldest one, the first that he set in place. Husband and wife are to be in submission to God's Word, honoring one another. That's His commandment. We have to honor one another. Hebrews 13:4, Ephesians 5:23 through 33. It was the importance of keeping that structure in place. Another one that interestingly is most referred to where honor is commanded is the father and the mother. That was one that we received early on, especially in the Old Law. The Jews received the Old Law, Exodus 20 and verse 12. Honor thy father and thy mother. The first commandment with promise. It was important. Honor was important here. Matthew 15 and verse 4, Christ reemphasizes that importance, that respect, that obligation that we have to parents. So it wasn't just an old law. It was reiterated by Christ Himself. It was so important that this honor be there to support the structure of that family that it was literally a death sentence to the child who cursed or struck a parent. That's how important it was. God was making it clear to His people, you instill respect and honor in your children. That's how important it is. A rebellious, non-conforming child like that had a death sentence, literally. That was something that had to be passed on. You see the importance that God placed on that. We know in the study of the word honor, the word love is sometimes used synonymously for honor. Paul commanded us to be devoted to one another, didn't he, in brotherly love. In Romans 12, verse 10, honoring one above self. Let's go to that. Read that. Romans 12 and verse 10. Be kindly affectionate to one another with brotherly love, in honor giving preference to one another. This idea of honor was something that would literally drive us to give preference or to consider others above self. That's something that's completely against human instinct. That's something that God's Word teaches us. God's Word conforms us and changes us to be able to do that. That's only going to be available. That's only going to be possible to put others before us when humility comes into our life. When God's Word changes us, His instructions makes us that humble creature that we are to be, that soft-hearted creature. Only then will we put others above ourselves. Romans 12, verse 3, while we're handy, we'll read that. And do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Also, Philippians 2, 3 is another verse you can jot down for your studies later, that drives home this honor that we are to have and love for those that are around us. When you get to studying about honor, it comes in several ways. God recorded for us some history that showed us that honor can be obtained or achieved or received because of our actions. Our behavior can result in honor. If you go to Proverbs is a book, as we all know, that is absolutely full of good instruction. And when you go to Proverbs, we'll read chapter 21, verse 21. But there's other verses as well in Proverbs. It's full of good verses. It says there, 21:21, he who follows righteousness and mercy finds what? Life, righteousness, and honor. We have to follow righteousness in order to receive this honor. If you go on over the same chapter, next chapter, 22, verse 4. By humility and the fear of the Lord are riches and honor and life. We see this honor comes only because God's instructed us how to behave in order to receive that. Another verse you can jot down is Proverbs 29, verse 23. We make that point because we can make a good contrast to a lot of what the world thinks about honor today. Worldly honor today is most notably placed on human wisdom, intelligence, feats, athletics. I think we all see that in society, how important athletics is to this culture in America. But this human wisdom, intelligence, earns them honor, praise. But that's nothing new. You know, God showed us in 1 Kings 10, verses 6 through 7, when Solomon's glory was earned, when the queen came to visit and saw his wisdom firsthand, was so impressed with all that he had and his intellect and the way he ran things. Solomon earned honor because of his actions. Joshua 6 and verse 27, where it's mentioned, Joshua was well known, famed for his actions. He had honor, he received his worldly honor and all these things because of his feat. Joshua was a great man, a great warrior in a time that God needed one. But we have to keep in mind that worldly honor for things of us is short-lived. It's ultimately meaningless. Ecclesiastes 1:14 reminds us that all is vain. All this that we fight and fuss and scramble for as humans in a physical world to try to get ahead, it's all vanity. Honor, praise, it's all vanity. James 4:14 reminds us it's all going to be gone. We're like a vapor. Our actions, our feats are like vapors compared to all the time. It's just going to be gone. Very short-lived. So worldly honor is short-lived. It's not going to be long. But honor is taught in Scripture is far different than this honor that's sought by the world. Worldly honor is given to those of wealth, political clout, status, power. What about the celebrity shit? Our culture is sick. It's drunk on celebrities and sports figures. The praise, the adoration, and the following, the time that it gives to these celebrities. And often, these people that we attach ourselves to as a culture and follow are not good examples. They're not what we need to be following, not what we need to be emulating. And as a matter of fact, they are completely against what we stand for. Another example of that worldly honor that's going to simply pass away. It's gone. We need to remember 1 Peter 5:5, Proverbs 16:5, and Isaiah 13:11 reminds us many of these figures that the world idolizes that are boisterous and proud and flamboyant, God is opposed to the proud. That is against Him. He gives His grace to the humble. So when we put these people on a pedestal to our children and to those around us, we're uplifting exactly what God works against. We can remember the example of the Pharisees, can't we? When they sought the accolades of men, when their actions were for praise and for attention, what did Christ call them? He called them vipers, didn't he? He called them snakes. Christ is a perfect example for us in how we live our life and what we do. And we see a few instances where Christ realized the importance and He took a firm stance. And He called things for what they were because they're so important that they're corrected. We can't let them go uncorrected. And He called them vipers. That's what how important it was to Him. And He rejected them. Matthew 23:5 and verses 29 through 33. He rejected these people because of their attitude. The point is that we're making is that our world is corrupt because it doesn't honor God. Society in general does not place its honor in God. It seeks to place it in man and those that they hold up on a pedestal, I guess. Deuteronomy 32:5, Philippians 2:15 are scriptures that make that point that our world is corrupt and it does not honor God. One who honors the world or those of the world more than God is clearly stated as an enemy of God. God makes that clear. If you're a friend or a lover of the world, you're in enmity with me. James 4:4. Paul mentioned in Romans 1:21 that even though men knew God, they chose or did not honor Him. So it's nothing new, is it? John 15:8 teaches us that honor is found in God and in Christ. And we honor them when we accept that and we become like them. That's what we need to work on every day of our life is becoming more and more and more like Christ. It should never be done. I often think about the talents that people have, whether it's musical instruments or whatever. No one is ever as good as they can possibly be, are they? You can always get better. And so it is with God. We can always get better. We should emulate them and try to be like them. Look at John 15. Verse 8. John 15:8 says, "By this my Father is glorified, that you bear much fruit, so you will be my disciples." We are to be like them, abide in them, and we will accomplish what they desire us to be. We're to continuously work on that. We're to give honor and respect to God through our labors, through our works. Proverbs 3:9, 1 Corinthians 10:31. We're to give honor through the care and the nurture of our bodies. We need to remember that. God gave us this existence. He gave us this body, this earthly tabernacle. We're caretakers of that. And with that, we must be careful with our bodies. 1 Corinthians 6:19. Careful in more than just the spiritual nature. That's the most important, is the spiritual aspect and our spiritual health. But we're to take care of our physical health too. We're to give honor as well by esteeming God as first, most priority, the first in priority in our lives. Matthew 22:37-38. That means committing our lives wholly, doesn't it? We're to give all our work, all our effort, all that we have, all our possessions to His service. Colossians 3:17. And John also reminds us in 5 John 15, if you look at verses 18 through 21, it says, "If the world hates you, you know that it's hated me before it hated you. If you were of the world would love its own. Yet because you're not of the world, but I chose you out of the world, therefore the world hates you. Remember the word that I said to you, a servant is not greater than his master. If they persecute me, they will also persecute you. If they keep my word, they will keep yours also. But all these things they will do to you for my name's sake, because they do not know him who sent me." So we're reminded that though we're of this world, though we're in it, we're not of it. We have to be something different, don't we? And 2 Timothy 3:12 is another verse that reminds us that with godly character and honor is going to come dishonor and persecution from the world because they're oil and water, they don't mix. What one professes, the other is going to contrast. So as we become more Christ-like, the world is going to hate us more and more because we oppose what they are. So we need to go into a life with Christ and understanding that we're going to be at odds. We're going to be at enmity with the world. What they honor is not going to be what we honor. What we honor, they're not going to honor. As we close our thoughts on the subject of honor, Revelation 4:11 says, "You are worthy, our Lord and God, to receive glory and honor and power, for you created all things, and by your will they were created, and they have their being." Much of what Alex read for us earlier. He is our Creator. He is our Sustainer. He is everything. All honor goes to Him, because all honor for anything else is because of Him. No man ever will or ever has been able to claim an honor like that. 1 Timothy 6:16 reminds us of that. That's something that only God has. He has that honor that He deserves. Revelations 14 and verse 7, back up in front of that a little bit, it's reminding us again that He's the Creator, the Sustainer of all heavens and earth. Everything's in place because of Him. The way we show our honor is given to God, is through His Son. It's through submission. It's through humility. It's through the honor that we give to them, and it is manifested through our actions when we submit unto obedience, unto salvation. That's how we show our honor. That's how our honor is shown. It's manifested. It's by giving our life to Him. Because when we do that, we show our recognition and realization, and we confess and understand and know that eternal life is only through Christ. That's the only way we can have it. John 11:25, Acts 4:12, 1 Timothy 2:5. Our adoration and our obedience also shows to our Savior's will. John 14:23 through 24. 1 John 2 and verse 6. When we are willing to do that, when we are willing to submit ourselves in obedience unto salvation and live our lives for them, give the honor that's due our God, He'll turn His honor onto us because He promises us a seat in heaven on His throne. Let's look at Revelation 3:21. Christ says, "To him who overcomes, I will grant to sit with me on my throne, as I also overcame and sat down with my Father on his throne." That's what we have as a child of Christ to look forward to. A seat on the throne of Christ. That's what God wants. That's why God created us. That's why God created honor and put such importance on honor. That's why He gave us instruction and structure in institutions to form us up, to grow us in the way He wanted us to be so that we have eternal life with Him. That's what He wants for all of us. He wants all men to come into repentance. He wants everyone as an eternal existence with Him. But it's up to us. Maybe you're here this morning, you've never accepted Christ as your Savior. That's the things you need to be weighing in your mind. Take an inventory of your state. It's easy to obey the gospel. But life and work for Christ is not always easy. It comes with persecution, as we looked at. It comes with change because we have to repent and to begin to live for Him instead of living for ourselves. It comes with sacrifice. But look what else it comes with. It comes with promise, confidence of our eternity. Our limitations that are here on earth and the things that we can't control lose their power over us because we know our treasures are laid up somewhere else. That's something the world, this country, or anywhere else is never going to be able to give man. It only comes from God. So if you've never accepted Him, we encourage you to do that. He tells you if you've heard the Word of God, you believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. If you've heard that, believe it. You're willing to confess Him before men and repent and turn unto those ways. We have the water here. You can be baptized unto salvation, forgiveness of your sins, and you can begin your walk with Him today. Learning Him, learning the honor, the magnitude, and the amount of honor that He's deserved. And it really puts things in perspective. Maybe you've already done that. Honor has been found in other things, or you're struggling, you need encouragement. That's what we're here for. That's why we're all here together, sitting together. I may be speaking, but God's Word is what we're looking at. You've heard all the Scripture that we have. He's the one that instructs us. We have this Word to encourage us, and we want to encourage one another as a group. If there's anything we can do to help you, we ask you to make your way forward as we stand and as we sing.